Hello, and War Eagle, all you AU Wishbone listeners. This is just a special bonus episode where I'm taking the conversation John and I had on video on YouTube on Sunday, the day after the Ole Miss game, and taking the audio from it and making it available here. I don't know that I'll do this every time we do a video show. I'm sure that it's going to lose a little bit without the video element because we were reacting to things on the screen and we were reacting to each other. So this is really something of a test. So let me know if you listened to this, if you thought that this was worthwhile, or if we should just leave the video on the video and the audio on the audio and not mix the two, okay? The only reason I'm even trying it is that several people on Twitter this week said that they did not get to see it and that it was difficult for them to go to YouTube and watch it, and they would rather just be able to listen to it later on. So this is an experiment again. We'll see how it goes. Let me know what you think. It's not that much trouble to do, but I'm not going to do it if it doesn't really work and nobody really, you know, enjoys it or wants to hear it. So without further ado, here's the conversation John and I had a few days ago on YouTube, and we'll be doing these again in the future. So stay tuned for more announcements. War Eagle. So you have something. All right, now yesterday was my wife's birthday. And so we spent the day doing birthday stuff. But we were watching the game on, like, my phone. This is so annoying. We were at a sports bar with TVs everywhere for dinner last night and couldn't get Auburn on. So I was in a sports bar with 50 TVs watching Auburn on my phone. It was just the ESPN football game of the weekend. So, and Elvis, that was just now as soon as I saw it pop up, so you can get your latency thing figured out. All right. So anyway, I was watching it kind of distractedly. I know that we put up 500 yards of offense, and I know that we won by 6 points, and I know that they had a chance at the end, right? And my understanding is that Auburn fans are not happy about things today, so you had something to say about that. Did you want to say a little bit? And again, don't burn through all our material now. We got to save something for tomorrow night, but whatever you feel like is on your mind right this minute, by all means.
I'll have plenty to say tomorrow night. Again, there's a reason we don't record the real podcast on the day after. Auburn was coming off. You have to set the scene. Auburn was coming off the LSU game. Quarterback, play was bad again on the road. Gatewood transfers. Fans are unhappy, nervous. They see we already got two losses. We're not going to win the West. The Gatewood leaves, and people are freaking out about what does that mean and all that. But that's kind of this narrative going into the game. And in the first half, the offense is rolling up and down the field, but we didn't score. Like, we literally were averaging 10 yards a play for a long chunk of the first half. But, several drop passes. Again, like, Nix's line is actually better than it looks because there are at least three or four passes in that game where he hit guys in the numbers and they dropped it.
Yeah.
So multiple different people. Missed field goal, fumble at the 1 yard line. Okay. Another drive where we should have scored, we ended up kicking a field goal from the 10 or whatever. Okay. We should have scored a touchdown. We ended up kicking a field goal from the 10. And so at the end of the first half, we had 10 points or whatever. And so and then at the very end of the first half, we played for a field goal instead of going for it like we did in a similar circumstance last week against LSU. And as the team left the field, fans booed.
Mm-hmm. Well, they always boo, though, when we take a knee before halftime or we don't try to score every single freaking play. So –
But I think it was very particular. I think there was fan angst. And so I think there was an expectation that we were going to kind of roll out of bed and beat Ole Miss by 40 points or whatever.
That's a good point.
And this guy's making a good point. This person, Christopher, is making a good point. Like, Ole Miss had a week off and they needed to win this game to be bowl eligible. And so they really put all their marbles and they went for it. Okay, the very first series of the game, they went for it on fourth down. So Ole Miss was kind of playing like, everything, on the table, trying whatever they could to win the game. And Auburn consciously held out several starters. Denson and Marlon Davidson did not play because they were banged up from the LSU game, basically, or one of them was ill. And so they played the backups for those guys. And, I talked about this last week. Ole Miss's run defense is light years better than it was last year. They don't have the real difference maker kind of players, but they're solid and they're well organized and their scheme is very sound at this point. So they're not like the complete crater of a defense that we played a couple weeks ago. So again, I'm not upset about the game. I'm very happy that Auburn won, and I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night and how I'm going to specifically talk about. And this is the discussion I want us to have tomorrow night. How should we feel about this team at this point in the season and going forward?
Yeah.
And why fans should be happy. And I'm going to go another level and say why Gus has done a good job for a lot of this season. I'm going to talk about that. But the other piece was of the fan angst this morning is A, the temperature dropped dramatically during the game and a lot of people were unprepared. And left, especially the students, and the student section was 80% empty late in the game. And that people were unhappy at the students because at the end of the game, Ole Miss was driving into the end zone with the student section and not making it work. So the students could have had an impact on the game and they bailed because they didn't dress properly. And that's fine. We can bang on them for that. But to me, the people leaving, the fans booing, and the people are all like, oh, we're booing because we're unhappy with Gus. But in my mind, the players cannot separate I'm booing the coach versus I'm booing for you.
Yeah.
Players drop passes that hit him in the chest. Players miss field goals. Players fumble on the goal line. They hear booing. They think that's me. Okay. They think I am failing and the fans are unhappy with me. And the other piece is the fans are always like, I want Auburn to recruit better. There were recruits in the stadium.
Yeah, there
football,
you go.
Football and basketball recruits. You want to help recruiting? Don't tweet at recruits. Have a good atmosphere at home game. So that's enough of me kind of ranting about that. We can respond to some people's questions and comments now.
Well, there's certainly – GB is certainly true about that, that the defense has carried us, and that's – while the offense has kind of done its thing. But, no, I feel like the Auburn people tend to boo a lot of different things. Trying to figure out how to – that made it worse. the Auburn people tend to sort of boo different things, including if we just, like, take a knee at the half or at the end of a game. I mean, I've had that argument before. Pat Dye – when Pat Dye did it, that was fine. But if Gus does it, oh, Lord, we're not trying, We're just giving up and everything. So I don't know that they were booing the players. I can't imagine hardly anybody was doing that, but it does give that impression. And when the team is not doing as well as some would like, then people are more likely to figure that that's what's happening.
Yes.
If everything is great and somebody boos, then you go, oh, I guess they were booing, something else. But in those circumstances, they're going to say, they were booing the team or the players.
The other piece was there literally were players tweeting last night, this morning, like that the crowd was not good last night, that they needed more.
Yeah, I knew the players were involved somehow in terms of they were seeing things on social media. Is that correct?
But it wasn't just that. Like last night, for the first time, they specifically tweeted out stuff and said, "You, the fans, we need more out of you."
Ah.
Like, that wasn't a good enough performance out of you. You need to help us. And this is the biggest thing that I think you and I understand. I think people understand it, but they don't always get it, is college football is not like watching television. College football in person is not watching television. Right. You don't sit down and turn it on and go, okay, entertain me, dance, make it entertaining. What college football is, the fans in the stadium can impact the outcome on the field. we saw that directly in the LSU and Florida games. Their fans made a difference in the outcome of those games. And we have seen it many times in Auburn home games, the outcome, the difference fans make. And so when the crowd is really flat and sitting on their hands and waiting for the team to do something, that carries out and the team is kind of putters around. When the crowd has great energy, the team can feel it and it carries them.
The defense, if we have an average, if we have an average offense, we're 9-0 and number one. And we've talked about that many times, that we have a coach that's, it'd be different if our head coach was known for his defensive prowess and he and Kevin Steele together were whipping up this great defense, and then we were just like, man, we need to find a new offensive coordinator. But our head coach is known for the one thing our team can't seem to do right the last little however long.
Again, we had 500 yards offense last night. I mean, again, I think it's 100% on that. Like, we had many, many chances to score and did not score as many penalties as we should have. So I think that's it. And I we'll talk about this tomorrow night, but specifically, like, I think this team is better than some of the fans think it is.
That'll be an interesting conversation. I'm curious what you think about that. It reminded me of the Mercer game last year, right? Or year before last, where we beat them like 24-14 or something, but we had 8,000 yards. It's like for some games, for some reason, you just can't find the end zone. Yeah, well, that's true. Beating Georgia cures a lot of ills. And if we sweep Georgia and Alabama both, that certainly cures a lot of ills. Yeah, I did see that. Imagine that if Auburn ran 90 plays. Gus, like, what's that? There's some statistic where Gus's offenses never lose when they run over, like, 80 plays or something.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, think about this. If Ole Miss had picked up a fumble and run it in, they'd have won 21-20 in a game where we ran 90 plays. That's how fine of a line that was.
But it shouldn't have been that fine a line. Like, no. We were, we had many, many chances to be well ahead of it. We should have put them away in the first quarter, and we didn't. So that's on the team. But I put the responsibility for executing that stuff on the players and not just on the coach. You could say it's the coach and the offense and all that, but there was a lot of execution in the offense last night where, they were clicking and clicking between the 20s and they got down closer. And, and we've been calling, Harold Joyner's a savior. Harold Joyner fumbled the ball on the 1 yard line. And there's a reason we haven't seen more of him. And that is it.
He came in. He came in and I'm like, oh, here we go. All those people that have been begging for him and he fumbles. I'm like, oh, all those people are like, yeah, it wasn't me. Now those other guys, man, those other guys were calling for him, but I knew, so.
The good thing is they went right back to him and threw him a pass after that. I thought he might get buried on the bench after that. So.
Mm-hmm. I seriously thought we were going to put him on a milk carton. No doubt about it after that. So what do you think about Brandon's comment here, though, that
that how we all recruit?
Yeah, we've been recruiting better than ever, and we've talked about that.
We have. And again, we played two bad offensive games on the road in tough places to play against good defenses with a freshman quarterback. And in both those games, we had a chance to win the game. I think offensive line recruiting is the one place right now you can 100% point to, that this is my thing. Like, if you want to be mad at Gus, be mad at Gus for the last 3 years of offensive line recruiting.
Yeah.
I don't think you could be real mad at Gus for the specific plays that he called last night or in some other specific games. Because I think it's not been terrible. So,
I was confident about that until last night. After last night, I'm like, well, let me put it this way. Before last night, I felt there was a very good possibility that we could beat Georgia more likely than Alabama and go 9-3. but I felt like the most likely final outcome we would get would be 9-3, one way or another. Now, I would not be surprised at 8-4 because, I mean, I'm just not sure the way that Georgia's defense played against Florida and the way our offense played against Ole Miss, if we had played Georgia last night, we'd have lost by 3 touchdowns.
Fair.
So,
Georgia's defense is excellent.
We were just talking about how many plays that Gus ran, and that's a good callback. I got to do it, John. This is just for you video watchers only. Since Sanford came up, I've had this waiting. This is for you, GB.
Sanford Hate Week 2019.
There you go. We'll be hearing that. You'll be hearing more of that in the weeks to come. But bring on the, what are they? The Fighting Bowdens or something? Or I don't even know.
They're the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, yeah. So we're playing Bulldogs. How many Bulldogs we played this year? That's at least 3. That's cool, GB. I hope you have fun, man. That's great. That's awesome. I wonder where are you coming from? You live in the Auburn area and just haven't been able to get to go, or are you traveling a long way? Because we're going to be going – we'll be at the Georgia game, as I think folks realize, and we're traveling both a long way to get there, but it should be well worth it. And I hope – I hope we look better overall, certainly on the scoreboard, than we looked last night, and I hope Georgia doesn't look as – I mean, they look pretty tough against Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you think?
They did.
They looked
better. They fixed some things that were problems for them earlier in the year.
They were third down. I mean, every time they completed a third down conversion, which was like every time, right? Florida's run defense would make them lose a yard, make them lose 2 yards, and then on third down they'd get a 15-yard pass, like every time. And I was thinking, I can totally see that happening with our game, right? I can see our big old defensive line like stopping Swift and holding them and pushing them back. And then on third down, I can totally see them hitting those passes against us. It just, I was, you know, and I can see us not being able to run the ball. I think we'll be able to run the ball better than Florida did. But how much better?
I think our offense is going to play – again, I think the Auburn – we got 2 weeks to talk about this. I think the Auburn-Georgia game is going to be a defensive game, a lower-scoring game. I think both teams can stop the other from running the ball. But it's a home game for us, and I think that's going to make a big difference in what happens and how we play. I think we're going to play much, much, much better than we have played against any of the big teams we have played this year.
I hope so. Let's catch up on some of our comments. We've got Brandon says – we usually bench running backs for fumbles. Why don't we bench quarterbacks for interceptions? Well, it's for one thing, you've got a bunch of running backs. We don't have a bunch of quarterbacks. I mean, I could have seen it before, but now it's like, all right, time for Colt Sebring or whoever is. What's it? He is now officially Colt Sebring because I can't remember his actual name.
Colt Sebring.
Ryan Sanborn.
Cord
Sandberg.
Say about
that's it. Cord Sandberg. All right, go ahead.
Cord. The one thing I would say about the interception thing is there are times when the interception is the quarterback's fault, and there are times when it's not the quarterback's fault when the receiver does the wrong thing or something. And so it's hard to separate those. When a running back fumbles, that's 100% of the running back. I mean, we've seen running backs at different levels that got better protecting the football and didn't fumble. And so it's very much different that way. And as fans, we'll never know what percentage of every interception is quarterback versus receiver.
Also Gus is big on not bringing quarterbacks out. He's the opposite of Spurrier when it comes to handling quarterbacks.
And we've seen that this year, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Greg Lawrence says, are we rising the occasion or lowering ourselves to the tier of the opponent? There's been some of that over the years. I think that's fair.
But I think people assume that a college football team is like the set of numbers, or it's the same performance every week, but it's a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds, and they're going to get up and get down. And it's 100% this trap game thing where it was a week after LSU. It was a crushing emotional loss for this team. They played so well. The defense was so great in that game that we really had a chance to beat the number one team in the country on their field, which would have been an incredible win. And we didn't. And so we came home and, you know, they were kind of flat, and the team was kind of flat. And we talked about how earlier this was like a do or die game for Ole Miss. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a quick housekeeping question. Brandon says, I used to listen to you guys on World Sports Radio. Podbean, Podbean, has an app. And since Podbean is our actual host, that's where our files live. And, you know, so like if, so like for example, if you go to iTunes and dial up our show on the on iTunes, whether on your phone or whatever, it gets it from Podbean. So if you don't want to use iTunes or whatever other built-in podcast app, which works, you can also go just download the Podbean app and pull up our show on it. There's probably other ways, but they come and go, and I can't keep track of it all. So you can also just like use your browser in your phone to go to I think, auwishbone.com or to auwishbone.podbean.com and play it through your web browser. I think that works too. So there's options. By the way, it says Van Gogh solo down here because there's so many layers to this interface we're using that I missed one. Up at the top, it says AU Wishbone Sunday Video Talk, but down here it says Van Gogh solo. I'm not solo, obviously. John is joining me. Let me see. Gus. Gus's offenses routinely struggle against good defenses. It's been going on since Marshall left school, and every loss to UGA with Gus. Yeah. And in every loss to UGA with Gus, it also seems like we score on the first drive and then never cross the 50 again. It's so bizarre.
But again, like you say that in 2017, 2 years ago, in the same situation, the offense was really good, and we beat Georgia and Alabama soundly in both those games. And the offense was really good about those games. You could say that it was carry on, and he was the biggest piece of it. But the offense overall performed well in those games.
Well, we had a good combination of Stidham playing pretty well, and then carry on, the two of them together made for a good. Let's see, catch cut up again. Gus is going to pull out the Wildcat pass. We haven't had the Wildcat running back quarterback pass in a while, have we?
No, and it's Whitlow can do it. I think 100% we're going to see it.
Yeah. Again, when Gatewood was in, it was not the Wildcat because he was a quarterback. People can't understand that.
I want the jump pass. I want the Wildcat jump pass.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about here. Okay, Elvis points out, yeah, I use Podbean. It has AU Wishbone. I can subscribe to their album podcast. Well, there you go. But why would you want to? Come on now.
You got other hours in the day.
You just listen to our show again, man. Come on now.
Come on, man.
He was ready for that with that high-tech piece of graphics there. All right. I think we are caught up on comments and questions for the moment. So, booby jump pass. That just sounds so wrong somehow. I don't know. But I agree. But it has to be the right situation, though. I mean, you don't just use that at first and 10 on your own 30-yard line. I mean,
no.
So, but you know what? It is one that works well in the red zone, and that was where we were having some issues. Was it a case last night that, because you were able to pay more attention than I was, I'm assuming. Was it a case last night that we were playing very, very vanilla, very base in a lot of ways on offense, or did they try some wrinkles?
No, we threw some stuff, and we threw some different passes and different patterns that we don't normally do. And Nix was very sharp throwing the ball in the first half of the game. But I think it, you know, when you get closer to the end zone, a defense always has an advantage. So they don't have to worry about you going past them. And I think in the second half, we ran, JD a lot, but in the beginning of the game, we did not. And I think it was more, you know, Cam Martin and Shivers and the other guys, you know, down at the goal line. So,
well, and GB asks a good makes a good point here, and I was just going to ask you that.
DJ,
what do you think about him? I thought he has. I wonder where he's been all my life, or basically all season.
I love DJ Williams 100%. I am DJ. He is going to be a star. Okay, he is on the way up, 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 up. And he was so good. You could just see the confidence building in him after those two big plays against LSU. In the second half last night, he got better and better and better. Every time we gave him the ball, he was making people miss. He was breaking tackles. He's a good receiver. I think he and Whitlow together are –
I just wanted to try something here while you're explaining this, yes.
He and Whitlow together are a dynamic combination, and I'm very excited. I think it's a great 1-2 punch with us. Like, we're in a unique situation where it's always Georgia getting their players coming back. And this is the other discussion we need to have is players – people are talking online about who does he look like running the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I want to ask you that. I mean, he looks – he's a tough physical runner,
yeah.
But he's got some explosiveness to him too. So I'm excited to talk about that going forward. But I feel very good about him and getting Whitlow back healthy heading into the Georgia and Alabama game. It's such a different position for us offensively.
I would say just on what little I've seen of him so far this season, he looks like Ronnie Brown looked as a freshman, and slightly slower, slightly less shifty Ronnie Brown. But, I mean, you know, that's a lot of our power hit the line between the tackles type of back. So what I want to ask you about was, what about our other running backs? I mean, is there still much of a role for Kmart and for Shivers? It seems like we're right now at the point of just trying to put them out there and trying to find something that they can do to justify having them out there. And then when that fails, DJ, how many carries did DJ Williams get last night?
I don't know.
He got a lot. Well, yeah.
I mean, I think Cam Martin is the ceremonial senior starting running
back.
He's the starter.
Yeah, Cam Martin. Exactly.
He's the senior veteran guy we trust to start the game.
I love the ceremonial starter.
I love Cam Martin, and I hope he's great going forward, but the meaningful carries in the game were DJ Williams mostly. Again, we got some Shivers. I'm looking to see how many he got now, but I'm guessing it's, you know, I'm going to say, here's the exact numbers. You ready?
Yeah.
DJ Williams, 24 carries for 93 yards.
Yeah.
Okay. Cam Martin, 7 for 33. Shivers, 5 for 14. Mm. Harold Joyner, 1 for 3. And that was the fumble. So, I think Shivers has a 5 carries, a 3 to 5 carries game. Mix it up. Guy is good. But I think, again, when Whitlow comes back, it's Whitlow DJ show.
Yeah, what about – okay, so Joyner, maybe Joyner in the – well, but the problem there, though, tell me if I'm wrong here, the problem there is that plays into the whole critique with Gus that we only use certain players for certain roles, and you can totally game plan against us by saying, oh, that guy's in there now, they're going to do that, you know?
Well, my only hope is that's one of these Gus long season-long cons, and we get to Georgia or Alabama, he's going to have Joyner in the game, and we're going to do something completely different.
That's
my only hope.
We keep dreaming of this, man. Wow. Yeah, I think he maybe did. He got a year's supply of being the starting running back.
Everybody says he's a great human being, and I think he's solid. Again, like we always talk about you want to have depth. He's a solid guy, and when you're playing the lesser teams, he's a valuable guy to have on the team. You can give 15 carries to against, you know, we give 20 carries against Sanford to him. That's great. Let him go off in that game.
And he'll get one good run a game.
Yeah.
He'll just have three or four not so good runs. He's kind of, you know, it's very hit or miss. What about Shivers? How would you be using him now? Clearly he's not a between the tackles guy, but that seems to be what he's mentally, you know, wants to do.
He's more physical than you think he is.
Yeah.
And I want to tell him, like, go in the weight room and just keep lifting whatever, and just do whatever Trey Mason did. Because I think he wants to hit people and run over people and get that extra yard. Oh. And I think he can, you know, that could help him because he's already fast enough. I really liked him being kind of the speed guy with Gatewood in the game. I think, you know, you could have a two running back thing where you had Whitlow in the Wildcat and have Shivers come running by behind him as for the fake thing. And I think, you know, kind of the quicker, you know, Schwartz could do kind of the longer, deeper end around, and Shivers could do kind of the shorter one, kind of go right past the tackle, sweep kind of play. And I think he's good at that kind of stuff. And he's a good change of pace. He's a smaller guy, so I think he can kind of hide behind the blockers a little bit sometimes. But to me, he's a change of pace. Like, you bring him in for a few plays, give the other running backs a break, and keep going.
One sec.
So, Joyner is the receiver guy. They're not going to play much more. Malik Miller, he's in the Cam Martin pile with me. Like, just, you know. But, again, you could see the situation now where we got DJ Williams, we got Whitlow. We're getting, you know, a year from now, we'll have Tank Bigsby. And we'll have the guy that's injured this year that's not playing, the Florida running back that we recruited that's, you know, really good. So I think, the running back situation a year from now is we're going to actually have some depth, you know, for a real change.
Well, there's what you've always wanted.
who's going to run the quarterback in the triple option? Like,
it could have been Joey. He would have been a heck of a triple option quarterback. Man. Imagine Gatewood running that Georgia Tech offense.
He's too big.
Is
like
he?
That's like the John Franklin kind of idea, or whatever. I don't know.
No, the quarterback likes Malik Miller because of the blocking. That's the whole.
Yes.
Again, Malik Miller comes in. I guess they're gonna pass. You know, I mean.
Yeah. But Malik Miller watches the quarterback's back and protects him. So, and he's solid, but he's not explosive. And he's a good blocker. He's just a bigger running back, and people like that. So,
what would Nick Marshall have been like in the Georgia Tech offense?
He wouldn't have been as good because he actually was a good thrower. But was this a soundboard prompt?
Catch up. We got a couple of quick. Why doesn't Gus trust our guys to know the playbook? The platooning and pigeonholing. Yeah. For years, Alabama's receivers are playing RPS in the huddle to see who. Oh,
rock paper, scissors.
Who runs what route. Yeah.
I think it's a different offense. And I think he trusts. The players who trust Knicks, they don't do – it's a different offense. More pro-style offenses adjust to the coverage, and with the receivers here, we see zone or man, we're going to do this or this, and the quarterback knows that. And there's some of that in Gus's offense, but not nearly to the same degree. So that's the simple version.
Let's see. Where do y'all think Auburn lands in the first set of rankings? I read an article the other day saying there's 73% chance to make the playoffs if they win out. Well –
I'm not holding my breath about that. I expect Auburn to be 10th.
I just can't imagine. I mean, well, A, I can't imagine winning out, but that'd be great. But B, even then we have two losses.
We're not going to make the playoffs because
we're not even the top 10 right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And we're not even a top 10 team right now. How are we going to make, you know?
No, I don't. Let's beat Georgia. Let's worry about that. I'm not worried about playoff rankings or a bowl game next. I don't want to beat Georgia.
Yeah, let's beat Georgia. A power rushing offense. Why do you run so much shotgun? Yeah, well,
because Gus's offense is a shotgun offense. Like they're not going to get. They went under center at LSU and ran Knicks on that sneak. I thought that was great. It was creative and different for this offense. We saw with Cam and we saw with 2013, you could run power in this offense out of the shotgun. And you could be a very effective third down short yardage offense from shotgun with the right kind of players. But I think it's more about, in this particular case, I think it's more about the offensive line. But I think, you know, I have some hope with DJ Williams as he gets better that the third down offense, the short yardage offense, goal line offense will get better because he can just make it happen.
Meanwhile, Gatewood's going to Oklahoma. Yeah, well, I don't see – I think he's got a ways to go. I mean, if he did go there, I think it would, he'd be shocked to discover he's not the starter again, you know. You're going to put him up there with Baker Mayfield and Hurts and the kid that plays baseball on the Bo Jackson commercial. That guy.
Kyler Murray.
No, not yet. By the way, I just got to say, all these years I've been so angry that Auburn never gets in the Heisman House, right? We've talked about this many times. We're never in the Heisman House ads. We're never in any commercial. Albies never pops up in even the Capital One commercials. They leave Albie out all the time. Suddenly, we've got like two Bo Jackson Heisman House commercials and an Albie commercial for the hotel, for that Hampton Inn or whatever, with Reese Davis. And don't you know Reese, the Alabama guy he is, loved being in a commercial with Albie. Oh. So it's like suddenly we got every Auburn thing on the ads that we've never had before. I wonder what happened. Did somebody die? Did the guy that was like at the network going, no, we should not use that program? You know, no, I mean, I don't know. Do you still view Bo Nix as a – oh, I was going to say a defensive tackle?
Dual threat.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he really is a dual threat quarterback. I think he's actually a really good runner, and I think he can be a very successful, effective runner, and we need to run him more. I think you're not going to see it.
I'm running him more right now. I'm a little scared.
They're going to be more careful with it. I think like 100% we play Alabama, let it hang out. We have to run him against Alabama to have a chance to win that game. He needs to run the ball because, you know, when we're in those situations, they're going to be 100% on the running backs, and the plays are there for him to pick up easy yards. So I think he isn't a very effective runner. He's a good dual threat quarterback, and I think we haven't taken full advantage of that. And now we're going to be more careful about it. I think we'll probably run him some against Georgia, but I think there's more he can do in that area.
Let's see. Elvis says, have we truly flipped the old Georgia script and our top running back is now healthy? And we have a well, I mean, we don't play another game before Georgia, right? We're off.
No, but this is the old script that we were always banged up and
they would get their guys back. Hurt,
and their guys were all coming back and they discovered good players. So 100% yes, we have flipped this on them, and Georgia doesn't know it's coming for them, but we have actually flipped this script around on them for this game.
We should run the Notre Dame box at them. Put like Whitlow and DJ and then like Shivers and not Malik. And just like do the whole
Joiner.
Yeah, oh, there it is. Because that'll throw them off. They see Joiner back there. They go, oh, here comes the dump pass and the fumble.
100% Gus is sitting in a Waffle House this morning drawing that on a napkin. I'm just telling you.
That would be so great. Another Georgia thing. A bye week before Georgia would be a big factor. Yeah, I agree. Because Gus is good after bye weeks. We already. After that LSU game, got to heal up a little bit. We were missing some players last night.
Yeah. I told you we were very banged up after the LSU game. And we needed it. We need a week off badly to heal and to rest for Georgia, but also to prepare.
Yeah.
You know, to be as good as we can be. And I think it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah. Will Hastings, thoughts? I don't know.
Part of it is that I think, again, at one point, you know, because of not smartness, Seth Williams and Schwartz were playing the same position, and so they weren't on the field so much, and we moved Schwartz to another position, but it's that inside slot receiver positions that Hastings and Stove play a lot. So he's out there more, they're out there less. It can't be both. I mean, they can have two slot receivers on the field at the same time, and it would be, you know, Schwartz and one of them, but rare, you know, it's not always going to be Hastings and Stove like it was the first game of the season.
All right, and I think we'll wrap up today, bringing around a 45-minute show for our first video. Our last topic, we got a couple of Derek Brown. First, Derek Brown is not, well, he did teleport in, but a longer version of that is the we need to run that more. You know, have Derek line up at cornerback and then move over right before the snap. That would be great. What did you think?
Have him just kind of running in towards the formation from the wide side of the field, and just have everybody else on the other side of the field. Which way are you going to go?
Can't hold him.
That's it. Hold him if he's running.
My first thought, when that was a bang bang play in more ways than one, was, wow, what a great tackle. My second thought was, oh my gosh, that was Derek Brown. My third thought was, how did Derek Brown get out there? I watched the little replay thing. I was sitting there at dinner trying to like eat and go, what? I wanted to rewind. You know, I couldn't figure it out. So, all right.
I don't often feel bad for the opposing ball carrier, but I did at that moment when he turned his head around and Derek Brown thought, I'm in the open field. I got the ball. I'm going to do something here.
Yeah, that's what the little guy did that turned around and Godzilla was about to step. So, all right, let's see. Last thing, because it's about national championship. Did Bo saying Alabama has 17 on the Heisman? No, I'm not even close at making your ring. Now, dang you, Nissan!
You have failed me for the last time.
That commercial is out of order.
You're out of order!
That whole commercial is out of order. Well, you know, I thought that actually they claimed more than that, so I figured 17 was a happy compromise. I didn't know. Whatever. All right, so, are you good for now? We have lots to talk about tomorrow night, so, all right, just to make our listeners happy. For one, I can't find anything anymore.
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
It is. That should be our theme song as we close the video show. Keep thinking the Red October is going to sail by. All right. All righty. So I guess we will sign off for today. Did you enjoy your first foray into our new video thing, John?
It was fun.
It is. It's cool having the people interact with us and watching and talking and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. So this one will be up on YouTube, and I also recorded the audio. And tomorrow night, Monday night, as usual, we record our usual show. It'll be up by midnight, early Tuesday. So, John, I will see you then. And otherwise, Wishbone watchers and listeners, we will see you guys next time. Our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Thank you for yours. Be careful out there.
War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.